Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Home team.
And here we go.
All right, so rolling into hour number two of only two today. We'll have coverage of the Athens Touchdown Club from the Athens Country Club coming up tonight from 6 until 7 with the keynote speaker, Tommy Tuberville. And so David Johnston will be along for that in that third hour tonight. So you get just one more hour here of the two of us on what's a short week anyway with the Thanksgiving holiday. Chris and Jeff, the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, and be golden. Georgia has crushed Kentucky 42-13, and next up will be the Yellow Jackets, and that will bring us to today's 5 at 5, brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, let's start, though, with some we'll get this bummer story out of the way first. Zamir White tore his ACL last Friday night in his high school game. So with this news, Jeff, how should we be processing this?
First of all, anytime you hear this, and at that position especially, you hate it for the player. You hate it for the kid. And everybody I've talked to with knowledge of knowing him, meeting him on the visits, and I'll say this guy is A-plus cut from the cloth of Chubb and Michelle. Not that you wouldn't feel bad for him if he wasn't a great kid, but so it's devastating. And now you wonder, like, well, is he going to redshirt next year? Could he possibly play some next year? But I do think him coming in early and being able to do the rehabilitation here in Athens in the spring is going to be a big plus for him. This kid's going to have a phenomenal career at Georgia. And unfortunately now, Chris, and I'm not at all trying to put a positive spin on this, but it's almost gotten with tailbacks and ACLs with the knee like pitchers with the elbow and the Tommy John, and that you know it's going to happen at some point. And now the way they can go in there with the technology and rebuild it, you know, this wasn't one where it was shredded. Heck, he didn't even know he was hurt. That they can go in there and rebuild this thing, and he'll be as strong as ever. You know, it's just a question of will he be able to help in 2018? I don't know. Might be a stretch to think that. Maybe in November. Who knows, Chris? Maybe this time next year we're sitting at 11-0 and Zamir White, let me see who we played the week before.
UMass, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
Maybe Zamir White comes in and gets his feet wet against UMass and is then getting ready to tear up Tech to help make it 12-0. So I hate it for him, but he's going to get the best medical care possible. I'm sure, you know, as disappointed as he is, he just sounds like such a great kid. He'll battle through it, and it's disappointing. And Chris, you made a great point, too. You know when he gets here, Nick Chubb's been through it. You know, I'm sure he's already gotten a phone call from Todd Gurley, who's been through it. Now, Sony, it wasn't his knee, but he's been injured.
Yeah, I mean, in between Gurley and Chubb, they came back pretty much as good as new. I mean, the thing, Chubb was running for over 200 yards in a college football game less than a year after that devastating injury at Knoxville.
And I think you could see, you know, this year on the long touchdown run against Kentucky, he really...
Yeah, he's fast again.
He looked the part. And, you know, the thing is with him, and, you know, Herschel was the fastest, but I think it was Kevin Butler brought it up that, you know, he looked so good running there. You don't expect to see a guy that big with that kind of speed. And he also with Chubb, and Herschel was like this because he is so big and powerful. When he was going down the north sidelines on the 55-yarder, he wasn't swiveling his head looking for guys. His thing is, I'm going straight ahead. If somebody gets in my way, I'll deal with them then.
Right. I'll run them over.
Yeah, I'm not. He wasn't looking to cut or if somebody was getting an angle. No, it was he was going straight line.
Yeah, and that's what Chubb is doing.
Yes.
But, yeah, with so I assume White will sign now in December.
Yeah, I think that was always the plan. He's going to sign in December and come in January.
Yeah, and then so he can at least be here and just get that rehab started. And
You know, the big thing with a kid like him is what you have to be careful with, because I'm sure he'll break every rehab record and all that. Sometimes when you feel, if you're, and we've probably all done this before, when you're really sick, let's say you're at 10%. When you feel 50%, you felt so bad that you feel like you're close to 100%, and you're not. So listen, Georgia will protect him. And what he's got to be careful with is that, let's say that knee for the season opener is at 85. I can go, coach, I can go. No. They're not going to put him out there until he is 100% ready to go.
Well, the other thing, too, it's the mentally, for those guys, when they get injured like that, then they've got to be they have to not be scared to cut anymore, because sometimes that can happen too, and you just naturally lose that, even if your knee is 100%. But then all of a sudden, you're afraid to make that move because you don't want it to blow out again.
And there's only one way to get around that:
you just do it.
You just got to go do it.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, it used to be with this injury, it was a 2 to 3 year injury. You missed a year. Then you came back in that second year, you just weren't the same. And then in year three, you got, as you said, the confidence and the faith back in the knee.
Right. Well, that's where Chubb and Gurley, I would think, would be good resources.
For sure. So, I mean, maybe for him, you know, it's, let's just say his fans say, all right, we're going to set a target date for, I don't know, the Auburn game next year.
Yeah. Hopefully Missouri. That's a tough game looming on the schedule if Drew Locke is back.
First two games are in Columbia in the SEC next year.
So South Carolina and Missouri are the second and third best teams in the East.
I did get some good news over the weekend.
Well, Hurst is leaving.
Yes.
He walked in senior day.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a junior, but he took
gone.
Part.
Bentley
yes.
will be back, though.
Yeah, guy, he's still only like 19.
I was speaking of South Carolina, just as a quick sidebar here. I got up this morning and I noticed on ESPN Classic they were showing old Clemson South Carolina games, and the first one that was on I caught the last few minutes of it was the 81 game, and Gordon Beckham was South Carolina's quarterback in that game, so I was watching that, and you know, it was like Clemson was ranked number one. They won the national championship that year. It wasn't even it was like 29-13 or something.
It was either 29-10 or 29-13.
Yeah, because I was going to take a picture of when they flashed Gordon Beckham's name up there. I was going to take a picture of it and maybe retweet it or something. But then his stats weren't good, so I decided not to.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no, they were not good.
Well, that Clemson defense was nasty. They were really good.
So then that game ended. I'm like, all right, I get it. Clemson did win the national championship that year, so ESPN Classic. But then the next game that came on was the 2000 game between Clemson and South Carolina. I'm like, now we're getting a little loose with the term classic ESPN. So
they're both 7-5 or 7-4 that year. Yeah.
So, I mean, I changed that because other than your nephew Woodrow Dantzler playing for Clemson.
He was a great player.
I mean, there wasn't much else doing in that game. That was Lou Holtz v. Tommy Bowden.
Yes, it was.
But I'm like, okay, why is this game on ESPN Classic right now?
Look, to me, ESPN, when it comes to football, I don't even care if it's a Texas-USC. There should be nothing on after January 1st, 1990. It should all be 70s and 80s. Or if you've got one of those gems from the 60s, like the 15-14 Arkansas-Texas game, that's great. But when they do pop one up there from the 70s, I watched the two of the most famous games in history, the 24-23 Notre Dame over Alabama Sugar Bowl on 12-31-73, and the 35-31 1971 Nebraska over Oklahoma, which, by the way, Georgia's 28-24 over Tech was the nightcap of that doubleheader. To watch games like that, it's incredible just to go back.
Yeah, and they were good games. They were worthy of it. If you're going to show a game that was a blowout, like the 81 Clemson-South Carolina game, then at least one of the teams in there was a classic team.
Right.
But it was it was kind of cool seeing Gordon Beckham playing quarterback.
Well, I'll tell you another thing, Chris, that and hopefully this will keep up on Saturday. You know, another thing with even when Georgia's had some terrific seasons of late, I think about this, in the spring or summer when the games start getting replayed from the previous year to get everybody all foaming at the mouth, there'd be four or five. I think about 07, we finished number two in the country, and obviously I only want to watch the wins. I was still kind of nervous to watch the Vandy game, and we kind of piddled around with Troy and Kentucky. But I'm thinking for this year, and you know, even if Saturday doesn't go our way, like I will watch every one of our wins thus far to date. They've all been awesome.
Yes, there's nothing to sweat about any of them.
I mean, the Notre Dame game obviously was close, but it was we went up to Notre Dame and won 20-19.
Yeah, I would totally watch awesome. That game again. Yeah,
and any of the other games, I'd sit there and watch, and it's a strange feeling. I mean, that's why my friend Larry Edwards again brought it up after South Carolina, and I've echoed it on the shows ever since. I mean, for me, since 1982, this has been my most enjoyable Georgia football season. And I sure, as you know what, don't want to spoil it on Saturday.
Well, Jeff, moving on in today's 5 at 5, are we going to beat Tech?
I think so. I think it'll be a very close game, but I like Georgia
a
Saturday.
A very close game.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. A very close game. I was like, I'm talking about what Georgia's offense should be able to do against their defense. Duke scored on every one of their possessions on Saturday against them. They punted one time. So if Duke could do that, I'm thinking that Tech's defense could be in for a long day against Georgia's offense. It should be anyway.
No, it's the offense has got to go in with the mentality and the mindset of we have to score every time. Sometimes, I don't care how good you are on defense. Once that triple option gets rolling, they're darn near impossible to stop. So, I mean, the offense, the special teams. And, you know, Paul Johnson, he's going to try some of those bloop kicks, baby, that Auburn tried against Georgia. They'll probably try it on sides. They're going to do some sneaky things.
Sure. I mean, this is going to be a team. This is the desperate home team role that Georgia faced a couple weeks ago with Auburn. Now, Tech is nowhere near as good as Auburn. But, yes, you have to be on guard for them to do some wacky stuff. In fact, I mean, their completion percentage is bad. I mean, they're hitting less than 40% of their passes, but
they hit big plays.
They do hit big. When they do throw, yes, they're big plays because they catch you off guard and they throw downfield. But when I watched them play Virginia Tech 2 weeks ago, every single pass that quarterback throws is underthrown. So, I don't know, if you're a Georgia defensive back, just be mindful of that.
The play
I'm
I've
in
seen
the meeting
them
room right now.
Have success with is Ricky June down the seam off the option, takes a step in, pulls it back, and
but the passes are all underthrown.
I literally, you know, I just this game just has such a, I guess it was an Auburn game when Tech beat Virginia Tech. It was why they threw that pass to June again. I almost texted Kirby. I was like, listen, Tech likes to use his pass to Ricky June. Then I was saying, like, well, I guess when that game gets here, they will be aware
He's
of that.
Our he staff probably is knows.
Probably yeah. aware of that, but you know, we're
going to get the tight ends involved Saturday.
Keep
though
an eye on those guys, just as long as Georgia wins, it's all.
Jeff,
I understand those tight ends do block. Also,
Jeff, I have a 3-part question. One, will Jacob Eason play? Two, will the tight ends catch any passes?
Well, if Eason plays, hopefully it is in mop up duty and a blowout win, and I think the tight ends will catch a couple of balls.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Moving on in today's 5 at 5, Georgia basketball, Jeff, what to make of the team this early season? They are 3-0, but their three wins are against three teams that combined have two wins against Allen and Our Lady of the Lakes. So, yeah, I mean, the question is, I mean, what should we make of this early season 3-0 start? Because these last two wins have been a little, how do I say, unimpressive?
You know what's funny, Chris? I think this is one of the best front lines Georgia's had in a long time. Maton is a star.
Yeah, you got a preseason player of the year SEC candidate.
Rayshon Hammonds is a big-time player.
Yeah.
He is going to be a great player. Derek Ogbede is terrific. And then you bring Nick Claxton off the bench, who's going to be really, really good. You know, the question is going to be the backcourt. I think at some point – Coach Fox and the staff would probably like to see Tyree Crump, Jordan Harris, one of those guys, win that two-guard spot and have a Torian Wilridge come off the bench. He's not a true guard. He's been starting. Georgia was plagued by turnovers these last couple of games. And another thing, there have been times where Georgia's looked really good. Dogs got up to a 13-2 lead against USC Upstate, found themselves trailing. Maton keyed a big comeback there. And Georgia was up 17-2 yesterday. So I don't know if it's letting the foot off the gas. I don't know if Coach Fox and the staff, if maybe they're playing too many guys right now. And it is part of it, too. In the early season, you're going for different combinations and different looks. I mean, honestly, I think they're 8 or 9 good to really good players on this team. And Maton's a great player, and I think Hammonds is going to be a great player. So, you know, so much of the strength of the team is on that front court. I think this team has a lot of potential, but George's got to get that backcourt settled.
Yeah, I mean, the turnover rate is 25.5% against a schedule strength right now that ranks 331st.
No, just giving away too many possessions. And it's been so much fun. I've got to call 4 of the games with the great Jarvis Hayes. You know, Jarvis, you know, when it started getting tight these last 2 games, he said, all right, this is one of those spots. You've heard the old term in coaching, KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. Just get the ball to Maton. Get the ball in his hands. But what teams are going to do, and Chris, yesterday, Corpus Christi was doing this, Maton, they had one of their forwards playing behind him, and they had another guy that you could kind of tell had the head on a swivel. He was semi-guarding Maton and the guy closest to him, whoever that would be. And then when Georgia would pass it to Yonte, of course, that guy would immediately go, and they would run a third guy. And they would just run a triple team right at him at all times. Georgia's going to see a lot of that this year.
Yeah, so, you got to have somebody who can handle the ball, too. And Georgia's starting 4 forwards.
I'm guessing the rest of the way you're going to see that second guard in there. I'll tell you, you're going to really like Hammonds, too, Chris.
I know. I mean, I've watched him the last 2 games. He does. He looks good. But like yesterday, he's out there on the perimeter guarding a guard.
Some mismatches.
Yeah, I mean, they're ripping threes. And I mean, Utah Rio Grande Valley beat those guys worse than Georgia did.
You like Ogbede, too, don't you?
I do. I like these guys. But the problem is most of the basketball you see nowadays in 2017, it's perimeter-oriented, it's space, it's pace. And the thing about Georgia letting its foot off the gas is Georgia's offense never really even accelerates. I mean, their pace ranks in the 200s. They're slow. They take their time.
Well, and it's just the turnovers. I mean, the thing yesterday, and I'm sure the guys have gone over this in practice and in the film study, but Corpus Christi starts 1 for 12 shooting. I mean, and Georgia was up 17-2, but that's when you have to just bury a team at that point.
Yeah, it 27-8 at one point?
I believe so. I'll tell you, it was 30-13, and they hit a 3 at the buzzer to make it 30-16.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, they're on a 20-6 run to start the second half, and the game's tied. I think everybody in the building, including Corpus Christi, was stunned.
Yeah, Georgia led 27-8 with 2.5 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah, did they score 49 in the second half?
Maybe they scored 52 in the second half. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, hey, it was a fun game to call. I'll tell you that. It was
really – Georgia did win. They're 3-0, but, again, it's ominous.
I mean,
last 2 games.
You know, my suggestion would be, right, you got Turtle at the point, you know, spell him some with Hightower. You got Crump and Harris are the 2 guards. You got your excellent front line, Nick Claxton, first guy off the bench there. And I think that's the primary. And obviously some other guys can pop in here and there. But I think you'll see that being the rotation at some point. Do you like Nick Claxton, too? I think he's really good.
Yeah, but then he didn't really play much yesterday.
He didn't play as much.
Yeah.
But he had 2 block shots in the first half. He's long.
I mean, right now, Yonte Maton hadn't missed a free throw this year. And they might be 1-2 if he had.
No, I know the last 2 games. I can't remember the first game. The last 2 games, he's 17-for-17.
Yeah, and if he had missed a couple the last 2 games, they're 1-2.
I'm telling you, against Upstate, Georgia was down 5, missed 2 free throws, and he gets a hustle offensive board and an assist to Hammonds to cut it to 3. I just say if that play doesn't happen, Georgia might not win. And then yesterday, you could tell down the stretch when it was tied yesterday. He had 11 points. And Jarvis said, he goes, he's going to have to get somewhere 20-25. He wound up with 19. But the strategy then became just get the ball to number one.
Well, there was a point all George's points were basically his free throws.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, the thing, too, I do like, Hammonds is really active. He moves exceptionally well without the ball. I mean, that's going to play well off of Mayton. But, I mean, you're going to see teams really pressure Georgia. Because, again, that front line is going to be one of the best in all of college basketball. That's what's, you know, that's kind of, I mean.
But so, if they got to bring the ball up the court.
You know, it's one of those deals. It's kind of like I think, you know, now I think this backcourt can prove it and be good. I like all those guys. It's like last year, Georgia had really good skill personnel, but the offensive line wasn't very good. So now Georgia's got a really good front line. Now, these guards, again, I have faith that they can do it. I think they're going to be good. But number one, they got to take care of the basketball. Then number two, and obviously you're not going to shoot 90%, but when you got good looks, you know, you got to shoot 40% to 50%.
Yeah. Well, it was good to see Jordan Harris finally play after his mysterious absence for the first couple of games.
No, and he and Crump were in there at the end. Crump was actually manning the point the last couple of minutes.
Jeff, moving on here, the Georgia Dome was imploded today. What is your fondest memory of the 25-year-old stadium, which we said goodbye to? The Georgia Dome's date of death is the same as Charles Manson's, as it turned out.
I guess sitting there watching us win the SEC championship in 2002.
2002, that one? Yeah.
But that doesn't – I mean, the memory – oh, just
I saw U2 in there a couple of times.
Yeah, was that the first show ever? Was that 93?
I think it was the Zoo TV, the outside broadcast. That was the first concert at the Georgia Dome. And then the last event was like a tractor pull or something.
There you go.
Yeah,
I saw the Cowboys coming there with Dion when he said, "I built this house."
Yeah. It ended up with the one Super Bowl came down to the 1 yard line, the Rams and the Titans.
It did.
And that was the last time it hosted the Super Bowl.
It is bizarre. That 2012, the Georgian Falcons, how it ended.
Same spot.
It's eerie. Yeah.
Well, good riddance to the Georgia Dome. Now it's just a pile of dust and rubble. And really,
how much is that rubble worth, by the way?
Apparently still $100 million in debt. And then I heard today, too, that the company that demolished it, which I believe would cost $9 million, is from Michigan. So not even like anyone local got that?
So we don't have any demolition companies in Georgia?
I mean, yeah. So what was that?
Sounds like
trying to at least keep that money in the state. Now we're paid some company from Michigan to
detonate. Sounds like an I-team investigation if I've ever heard.
I think so.
That building died to me the first Saturday in December of 2012.
Finally, Jeff, Monday Night Football's got the Falcons at the Seahawks, and a big one for the Falcons. They are 5-4. The Seahawks are 6-3. And come on, who do you got? Can the Falcons go up there and win? There's a lot of injuries. Seahawks are going to be down 3 starters on that defense tonight.
All right. I got two things are conflicting or tugging at me, Brame. Number one, don't bet against Seattle at home. But number two, these elite quarterbacks tend to shine in the primetime games. Now, Russell Wilson's good.
He's not elite?
Matt Ryan's better.
Russell Wilson, he's still elite, though.
He's
no Nathan
good.
Peterman.
No, he's better than Peterman. He's not Brady. He's not Peterman.
Okay.
Those injuries for Seattle, I just have a hard time going against Seattle in that stadium.
I know. Primetime game. There's that been a lot of cheating that's happened there on Monday nights in the past.
Well,
so.
And keep in mind, too, like for that crowd, the game kicks off at 8:30. It's 5:30 out there, so it's not like they're worried about, I have to stay up late and miss work. They cut off from work at 3 today. That place is going to be on fire.
Yeah.
And plus, if they win, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, that would tie them with the Rams for first place.
Yeah, because the Rams lost yesterday, and the Seahawks, they play another game, but the Seahawks do already have the one game in hand against them.
So I think I'll have to go with Seattle tonight.
All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.